Sports Team, hardest working man in sports radio, coming to you live here on a Friday night. And look at who we got here. It's Andrea, the Red Sox fan. Welcome. How are you, hon?
Pretty darn good. Pretty darn good. And you want to know why?
Why?
Because those Washington Nationals made my attitude happy again. Leave it to them to save my attitude. No thanks to the Red Sox in the end of their lineup, right?
Yeah, well, there you go. I thought the Red Sox were going to handle the Rangers there for a while. And with things that were going on as far as they took the first game and, you know, had a decent second. But, yeah, they didn't impress me all that much, those Red Sox.
Yesterday they were playing the Indians.
I forgot about that. They were playing.
But it's okay. They lose to everybody, so
Texas there, 10-9, I think, on the last game that they played. They won by one, and I think they took the first two, though. So, you know. Texas took two of the three. Boston won the opening. That's what happened. So, yeah, they're just not doing very well.
Well, you know, when you're playing a team like Texas, it's cool. It's okay, you know, if you lose. It's cool. But when you try to get swept by Minnesota and then you turn around and you try to get swept by Cleveland because that's what they're trying to do and all.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it was interesting because – Ubaldo Jimenez, which has been just on my – like him and Ricky Romero have been ready to be kicked off my team, like fired completely. I just keep waiting and waiting because I actually believe that Ubaldo Jimenez is a good pitcher. And I think that, you know, him going to Cleveland, I really feel like it was a good move for him mentally and just, I don't know, been waiting for him all year to come around and – seriously, yesterday, right before the game, I dumped Ubaldo Jimenez, straight up ditched him right onto the waiver wire to get some close save guy. And he turns around and strikes out 10 Red Sox.
Wow, that
right?
In itself.
So after
that,
the game,
I
rush back in there and I grab him back up, okay? So I dumped Bonifacio, my old ex-boyfriend, okay? Well, you know, my fill-in. And
yep.
That's what I did. I dumped Bonifacio. I told you I was talking about dumping him, and I grabbed Ubaldo back because you never know what's going to happen. I mean, I'm basically just going to pitch him based on matchups. And honestly, if I do that, I probably wouldn't have pitched him against the Red Sox, right? But
you would think.
He comes around to the end of that lineup, and he takes care of business, like Salty Lamacchia, Will Middlebrooks, you know, Aviles. Just straight up, every time they come up to bat, strike, strike, strike. So, and of course, you know, Carl Crawford had an opportunity to come through, but, yeah, he couldn't really do that. I think he hit into a double play or at least, you know, made a third out. So, regardless, you can't really rely on him. I don't know. I look at the standings and I see the Red Sox 5 games out. Okay?
Right.
And I think, you know, 5 games in my small world – is not that big of a deal. I think the Red Sox can do it. But you don't just have to win 5 games. You have to win 5 games that the other 4 teams aren't winning.
Right? Mm-hmm.
You know? And I
but
don't know.
But it's only 3 for the wild card.
You say that, but, okay, there's 2 wild cards for the AL, but we already talked about this last week. I mean, you have wild cards galore all the way across the country. You have,
right.
I mean, between the Angels and Texas and Oakland, can't count out Oakland, and
nope.
Then you got Chicago
Detroit.
And Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for sure. So that's 5 teams so far. And then you have the Yankees, the Red Sox, and whoever else decides to show up. I mean, Tampa Bay,
and
they
Baltimore,
got Evan Longoria back.
Baltimore's back in it. They've won 7 of their last 10 games. They're not letting go. Buck Showalter is making his team show up.
Okay, here's my question, okay? Here's my question, because you know me. I like to go around and pick up some young pitchers, okay? Steve Johnson
I'm going to download that, and I'm going to make
please
that
do.
A
come
file.
On. We need some sound clips, you know, of our show, okay? We can compete. We can. So anyway, I go, and I'm looking at the Steve Johnson, right?
Okay.
He comes out for Baltimore like last week, and he did a real good job. He pitched like 6 straight innings, you know, 6 good innings. He struck out enough batters for me to notice him, and it was like his first major league start, I believe. Of course, okay. I don't have the numbers right in front of me. Anyway, I'm looking at him, and I'm really liking what I see, and I'm like, okay, maybe I'll give this guy a little run for his money on my team. I turn around, and as much as I love Manny Machado, okay, because he was like, one of the top five draft picks, and that's fine and all, but they decided to bring Manny Machado up. I think he's a third baseman.
He is a third baseman.
He comes up, and guess who they decide to send down? Mr. Steve Johnson, but then you look at their depth chart, right? Because I'm actually going to Baltimore next week. They're playing the Red Sox. And I'm going to see it in Baltimore, and I'm looking to, I like to try to figure out who I'm going to see pitching that day. And I look at the depth chart for Baltimore, and they have four starters, okay? And I'm looking at their middle of the rotate, mid relief, bullpen, all that list. There's nobody on there that looks to be like the next starter. So here's a guy, you bring him up, he has a great start, then you send him back down to bring up Manny Machado, which I like the idea of bringing Machado up, but come on, there's got to be somebody that you could send down other than your fifth starter. I mean, you have no fifth starter.
Yeah, the only thing I know is that they're in a pennant race. And that's whether it's a pennant race or going for the wild card, this team is actually there. It looked like a couple of weeks ago they might fall and do what they normally do right after the All-Star break, which is go be completely irrelevant. Last 10 games, they've won 7. So bringing up a young stud, I think what they're trying to do, and I think it might work, I don't know, but they bring up the young stud, not only give him experience, but give him experience in games that count, games that matter, really, if you think about it. It'll help with pressure for next year and things like that. So I don't think I'm too objective in bringing up a Machado, because he has been doing well. And I actually heard of that guy before you mentioned. I don't even know why. I've read a couple of articles within the last week. I think it's because they're thinking about bringing him up or whatever the case may be. But whether they play him at third base or shortstop, he's got a dual role there as well. So, it just all depends on what Buck Showalter thinks that this kid can handle. And Buck Showalter, if I'm not mistaken, is a halfway decent manager at times.
Well, he's giving me a little bit of doubt. And I do, of course, the guy's been around for, since I've been born, right? I mean, it's not like he's a newbie. But here's the thing. Machado's great. He hit, he was 2-for-4 yesterday. He got a run. And, like I said, he's one of the top prospects, and that's great and all. You got to even out your Mark Reynolds and your J.J. Hardys. Okay, I mean, you got
yep.
people on there hitting like 210, and that's yep. fine. But why are you, number one, why are you batting him last? Like, they say that he's going to stay at the end of that lineup. Like, they're going to bat him ninth. I don't know. I don't get why they would bat him last, especially, if he's hitting. Put him in the middle of the lineup where it matters. I don't know. It makes sense to me. I mean, even Matt Wieters is hitting like 250. He's having a good year. I like him a lot. I'll probably draft him over just about any catcher next year. But I don't understand what Buck Showalter is doing right now. Like, okay, for my opinion, you don't bring a guy up from the minor league – here's me. I did some research on this because I'm really wondering
okay.
why they would send the Steve Johnson back down. And apparently they're interested in Derek Lowe, okay? I know the
For
trade deadline is over, but I still
I
know there's
know.
A way. There's still ways, okay, to get these trades done. And I'm, here's the deal. I'm not going to, that's a whole other show about all of the, aspects of trading after the trade deadline, but it does happen. And so they're interested in Derek Lowe. But, beyond that, they say that they liked what Steve Johnson did, and they're talking about the fact that they sent him down just to make room for Manny, and that they can get through with the four-man rotation because they don't have a full schedule this week, and by the time they have another 5 games in a row, they could pull him back up and use him as a fifth starter, right? So they
yes.
They could skip their fifth starter because they have an extra day off, and then when it comes back around, they can pull him back up and use him then. I don't like the idea of sending a guy down to the minor leagues and bringing him up to the major leagues and sending him back down. I don't think it's good. I don't think it's healthy. I don't think it's right. You bring him up, you leave him up. You know, if you don't have a spot for him, then you let him do his thing in the minor leagues. But you have a spot for him. He comes up here. He does a good job. What's that telling the guy? Like, what? Now I'm being punished. I'm being sent back down to the minor leagues. Cool. Nice talking. Nice cup of coffee.
Yes. But you know, at the same time, though, you know, Baltimore, if I'm not mistaken, you can correct me if I'm wrong, you hear more about it than I do. There were lots of talks about whether or not the Orioles were going to keep some of their pitchers. And if I'm not mistaken, they kind of stood pat with their young pitching.
Who are they
going
to trade? Do they have anybody to trade? Anybody except for the fact that they have some fluke in Jim Johnson who has, like, the most saves in baseball, or he did, like, just a couple weeks ago? I mean, here's a guy that I was looking at the Baltimore Orioles at the beginning of the year saying they don't have a closer. Like, they don't have a closer. Who's this guy? And he has come through. But other than him, really, their pitching rotation is not sturdy by any means.
Right. But I'm talking about prospects. Weren't there some prospects that a lot of teams were interested in grabbing up from the Baltimore Orioles? And just, I'm always a guy that says, hold on to your prospects, especially if you're a team like Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can keep your good prospects and not just deal them because you're trying to, you know, fill a, in the Orioles' case, usually it's a gap, not a hole. You know, but I think they did the right thing by holding on to some of them. You know, Machado is one of them. Kevin Guzman. Yeah. Those guys, you got to keep on your teams because they're going to develop into good players. But, you know, I don't know. I just think they did a good job in maintaining what they're going, because they're sitting there right now 5.5 games out behind the Yankees, and they have an opportunity to make the wild card. I think they did everything right. Now, you're talking about the Orioles. They very rarely do anything right, so you got to give them a little bit of praise.
Oh, I do. I do give them a lot of credit, and I think that, you know, what we've seen in the past is, yeah, they make it. I don't even know if they make it to the All-Star break usually, but they always start out the season very good.
Yeah, about a week before or a week
after.
And
then they crap out. Well, like, this year, it's way past the point of them crapping out. I mean, if they were going to do what they normally do, they would have done it, like, a month or two ago, you know? So what we're seeing is real. I just don't understand why you would – you need a fifth pitcher. You need a fifth starter, you know? Derek Lowe, I'm sorry. You know, it's like the Texas Rangers – you know, looking out for Roy Oswalt. You know, pay attention to what you have in the minor league system coming up. You know, you bring a guy up, he's obviously ready to take the major league seriously. He comes out there, he does a good job, and you're interested in Derek Lowe?
I know.
Derek Lowe is a mediocre to at best pitcher,
at
dude.
Best.
And he always will be. He's never going to be anything more than that. So, you know, if you're out there searching for a pitcher, why don't you just look to the guy you just brought up to the majors? That's just my opinion. You know, they have an Asian pitcher. They have a couple Asian pitchers over there that I could never even pronounce their name. It's like hockey names. I mean, there's no way I could say their names. But, you know, their pitching rotation has been pretty decent. It's been decent enough to get them to, you know, but they can't forget the fact that they still need a rotation. They got to go into this thinking that they do have a shot to get into the playoffs. And, Manny Machado, great. Shortstop, third base, you know. Kick J.J. Hardy to the curb. Kick Mark Reynolds to the curb. Whatever
especially
you got to do, bench him for a minute, you know, if they're not hitting. But
especially Hardy.
Don't send down your fifth starter to do it. That's all I'm saying. Okay, let's move on from that.
Well, go to Oakland, because Oakland, let's go to the American League West just really quick, okay?
Okay.
Because we were talking about Oakland and how well they're doing now. Now, Oakland, they just lost their third straight for some reason. But here's the thing. What is it about the West now that they're playing 500 ball? Every team seems to be playing 500 ball since the All-Star break. Why are we not seeing any movement from one of these five teams that are in that division, or four, I'm sorry, one of the four teams in that division? You know, we're not seeing movement from the Angels. We're not seeing movements from the A's. And Texas is not, you know, anything to write home to mama about. What's going on in the West?
look, I think that it's, you know, in my personal opinion, it's going to, I mean, it's going to come down to experience. It's going to come down to we're Texas and we're Anaheim. And we're going to, I mean, Anaheim made some moves at the trade deadline that mm-hmm. were smart. And the Angels, I think they're, shoot, they're playing against Seattle the next few games. And I only know that because I went and picked up their foolish pitcher that's having such a horrible year. I can't remember his name. Is it Wait, I always get him confused. One of them pitches for the Nationals. One of them pitches for the Angels. It's Irvin Santana or the other guy?
Santana. It's Irvin Santana who you're
is
thinking
that
of with the Angels.
Okay, well,
yeah.
I'm like looking at him. I'm thinking, okay, dude, I need a couple wins coming up here in one of my leagues. I need a couple wins, and what do you know? Here's Irvin Santana available, you know, with two starts next week. One of them's against Seattle.
And he's starting today, by the way.
Against Felix Hernandez. Which
yes.
I do not like one bit, but here's the thing, you know, when you only have the, you got the choice of him or Bartolo Colon, okay? Bartolo Colon's got a big orange I'm cool flag next to his name because he's done such, his ERA is zero for the last 2 weeks, zero. Like, he's taking care of business for the Athletics, but you know as soon as I pick up that fool, he's gonna crap out on me, you know?
That's what
I'm happens. Like, my chances are better with Santana than I'm going to get at least one out of the two wins, right?
Yep, and if you got them, they'll start tonight against. Hey, you say what you want about Hernandez. Okay, good, great pitchers. But guess what? They don't have any bats.
I don't agree with you on that one. I totally don't agree with you. And anybody that says that needs to take a look at some stats because Seattle actually does hit.
Okay, all right. How about hit then in the proper time? Okay, with runners on base. Okay,
they can't hit
how about
at home.
Then?
They can't hit
them,
at home.
Get them across the plate.
Hey, man, I'm telling you, Seattle had – look at them for – I'm telling you right now, mister, Seattle is going to be some team to be reckoned with next year, and they're going to continue to get better because they're young hitting.
Did you start this show 3 years ago? Because I think I heard you say that about the same team 3 years ago.
No, I didn't say this about the team 3 years ago. I said, what are they thinking getting Sean Figgins when they already have a leadoff batter? What are they thinking? That's what I said 3 years ago.
Yes.
But – I do. I like their young hitting, and I like Michael Saunders. I like Justin Smoke. I like, you know, I could go on and on about the guys that I like. I like Dustin Ackley. I like, you know, a lot of their young players that just haven't put it together completely, but are totally worth a flyer in a lot of leagues.
Uh-huh.
And that's just my opinion, you know, because I am a Nats fan and a Pirates fan. Okay, I like the underdog. What?
Well, then you should really love the Mariners.
I do. I really do. And not only that, but I happen to be from the Northwest at this point.
Yeah,
in my life.
I was wondering when your Portland area were going to pick up in as far as that was concerned as
well.
Well,
we
got to
talk a little bit about the decathlon then for a second. What about the
okay.
boy that gets first place, gold medal, the best athlete in the world, they say, because, you know, you have to do all those different sports to be this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been watching the Olympics?
Not 1 minute.
Oh, holy moly. Anyway, he's
not
from Oregon.
One
he went to
minute.
University of Oregon. This guy went to University of Oregon. He is from Wilsonville, Oregon. He qualified last year in Oregon, and he's just won gold medal in decathlon, is that the name?
The Iron Man decathlon.
Whatever, you know what I'm talking. The Iron Man. No, the Iron Man Challenge is here in New York, and guess what? They won't let him swim in the river because it's too dirty. They're like trying to decide whether or not these thousands of people are going to be able to swim in the Iron Man competition because they haven't decided whether or not the river is clean enough. And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry, but that should never have been a question. Who are you? What are you thinking? Okay, you're gonna have these people swim in like one of the dirtiest. Anyway,
well,
okay,
New York is the biggest generator of trash in the world, not just our country, but in the world for an area like New York. I mean, they generate so much trash. And eventually, it's gonna get in the damn river.
Yeah, what river is that? Like, I'm not that familiar with all the rivers.
Hudson
it was in Jerry Seinfeld. Remember when Kramer swam in the Hudson River?
Yeah,
the Hudson
about
River,
I think. That, yeah.
Do you remember that?
I thought it was the Hudson?
No, East River, the East Bay, East...
East Bay River?
Shoot. Either way, it's a dirty-ass river. Okay? And thousands of Ironmen are coming here to compete, like, in this huge Ironman competition. And so, they don't know if... I mean, wouldn't you think that you would figure out whether or not the river was safe, or, you know, the water was safe, like, a year ago when you decided to have the Ironman competition here? People are coming from all over the world. Now it's like a week before it, or whatever.
You have to watch Seinfeld.
I mean, you don't say the river's too dirty, like, this close to the thing. People have their tickets.
What do you do about that anyway? I mean,
I have no
how
idea.
Do you clean up a river besides, you know, take the trash out of it? But it's obviously more than just the trash that they're worried about.
It's not trash, dude. It's it's like chemicals and, like,
chemicals
cancer-causing
and all kinds of
agents. Pee and poo.
Yeah.
Sewer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So, yeah, Scott Posednik had no job again, right? I don't understand why this guy never has a job. You know,
who was that?
Scott Posednik.
Okay, yeah, he just got let go a couple days ago. He got let go on Monday, actually.
Well, I don't know when, like, at least a week ago he got let go, at least, probably 2 weeks ago. I like the guy, you know? I mean, I've used him on fantasy teams.
Absolutely.
Shoot, at least
he's
a couple
one of your,
years.
He's one of your situational stats guy.
He steals bases every time.
Yeah.
Okay? And you don't have to worry about him. Like, he's not an expensive guy, and you can always find him out there, you know, kicking it free.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know. He's been on, like, four or five teams. The Red Sox let him go, and then he got picked up, I think, by another team, I think, and then they let him go.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Red Sox re-signed him, though. They re-signed him yesterday, I think. So
oh,
the Red
I didn't,
Sox,
I did not hear that, but okay.
They re-signed Posednik. And I don't know why they ever let him go in the first place, to be honest with you. But that's interesting for fantasy owners, because I think that, you know, now that he has a job again, you can take him off of the reserves and put him back in the lineup.
Yeah, but is he going to be an everyday player over there? That's the question. Well, maybe, because he can play. He can play about three different positions. You know, so that's good for a fantasy person. If you're looking for a utility player, he's probably not the worst, especially in infield utility.
No, not at all. And I think Daniel Nava. I know Daniel Nava is injured, and I'm not really sure how long. But I think that it might be for the long term. You know, whatever. They always have an injury or something going on.
Something going on.
They'll find a spot for him. So that's good. You know that Michael Fears guy in Milwaukee that we were talking about and had such good numbers, you know, go out and pick up Michael Fears.
Mm-hmm.
The Brewers came out and said that they're going to cut his innings short. And he's got an innings concern. He's only got like 30 more innings left, you know. So I guess you kind of had to expect that anyway. You know, coming up from the minor leagues, he was pitching full-time there. And the Milwaukee Brewers sold the farm, so it's not like they're trying to win anything, you know?
Exactly.
They might as well save an arm since they can't afford any arms.
Yeah, all you got to do is, well, you know who where my mind goes whenever I think about good young pitchers with good prospects blowing out arms on a meaningless game.
And poor Johnny Damon got released, okay? The Cleveland Indians released him and their pitching coach. Poor Johnny Damon, he's so close to 3,000 hits. That's his biggest problem, you know? He wants to get to 3,000 so bad that he has no plate discipline anymore. He just swings at everything.
Yeah, but John, I'm not a guy who wants a Johnny Damon, okay, just because he wants 3,000 hits. I just have never been that kind of guy. I mean, if you got two or three more good years, and I'm talking good years ahead of you, you're going to eventually get it. But to sign to try to get 3,000, I think it's very selfish, and that's one of the reasons why I don't like him. I think he's a selfish player, and that, never mind that. I've seen him on interviews. The guy's a jerk. So
I'm sorry. I don't understand. You and your Euclid is a jerk. Now he's a jerk.
I think Euclid, you know, was completely overrated for a Boston Red Sox. That's all.
What do you think?
Is
he completely overrated for a White Sox?
Because he fits the team a little bit better now.
Oh, really?
He was a crybaby.
He only won two World Series.
No, I didn't get to start every day.
He only won the only two World Series that the Red Sox have seen in this century.
so what?
So I don't think that it was a bad fit, okay, when it was time. And I also, I don't know, I don't, I can't really, I don't think that he was crying about not being able to play. I think he was crying
about
the way that...
Every day he was crying about not being able to play every day. That was his bitch, his moan, and, you know,
no,
in reality...
Well, when did he bitch about that?
I'll have to find it, but I remember reading it, and I was like, you know what, what a selfish jerk.
Okay.
You know, forget about the team and trying to win. You know, I want to play every day. You know,
we're
going
to not.
You know,
we're going to just agree to disagree on that one. Let's move to Johnny Damon. Like, I'm wondering, I don't understand how anybody could say Johnny Damon isn't a good addition. He's a veteran. He's a great leader on a team. He's got, I mean, the guy has totally, for his numbers, I mean, pretty much held up his end of the deal until just recently when he started to get close to 3,000 and his mind's all messed up. I mean, Johnny Damon, I was so surprised that Johnny Damon didn't get picked up before stupid Manny Ramirez, you know. And but I can understand why a team wouldn't invest the money in him, and it's because there's so many other DHs to choose from at that point. And not only that, you know the guys that, you know that he is a strikeout king lately, you know. It's like, you're not going to invest all this money in a guy that's going to walk up there and just try to get a hit, you know. All for, I mean, I don't think it was a selfish move. I just think it's like a mind block, you know, a mindset. And so anyway, Johnny Damon gets let go. Apparently Cleveland didn't think that they needed his bat.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I mean, you know, I just think he's just an overrated dude. I do. I mean, I know he's a veteran, and I know he played, you know, played for the Yankees, and he's got that championship experience and with Boston. You know, I get it, and I understand it. But you got to understand, though, this guy is not, he's not your, oh, how do you say it? He's not your guy that you're going to, depending, the guy's 38 years old, and I know there's a lot of players out there that are 38 years old and playing, but you, most of them are sitting in the DH because, you know, they either have lost the ability to play their position, or they're batting .222 with four home runs and 19 RBIs. Oh, that's that's Johnny Damon's.
And how many bats, though?
Huh?
He hasn't had a full season.
Now, that part I don't know. I'll take a look at that
look,
and I'll find out.
I'm looking
207 at-bats right now.
So that's like not even half a season, okay? And, I mean, that's cool and all, but this guy, seriously, he's been playing in the major leagues since, what, forever?
Oh, yeah. He's
I mean, at least 10 years.
Well, I got that right.
He's
in front
had
of me.
A consistent batting average of like
285.
Okay,
95.
18 years he's been playing baseball on Baseball Reference. Okay, the guy's stolen more bases. He's like in. He's like got records. He's in. Going to be just playing off the bench. You wonder. I mean, they have to keep batting him. They have to. This guy hits every single day.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Okay. I couldn't hear you. So, Let me call back in. I'll leave you on, okay?
You leave me on.
Yep, I'll leave you on.
Okay. Okay, everybody. We are waiting for Mr. Couch Potato to call back in. I would assume, since he's the host of the show, I don't know. We'll keep going, I guess. I'm actually signing in here. I wonder. You'd think at an hour and a half late we'd have our stuff together, right? You'd think. Anyway, Johnny Damon's not all that bad. It's just, I wonder if he's going to get his 3,000 hits because he is so darn close, don't you think? I mean, he deserves it. Anyway, speaking of dude that's a little bit over his peak, Alfonso Soriano, you know, this is a guy that I actually have I put him on the bench because he's hitting, you know, hasn't been hitting that good. And I know the time is going to come soon where this guy is not going to hit, you know, 20-plus homers every single year. But here goes Alfonso Soriano. Yesterday he hit his 20th homer. Yesterday Soriano hit his 20th home run. And guess how many straight years he's hit 20 home runs?
I think I can guess this. 9.
11.
He's your 20 guy, right? I mean, when you but the only problem is it's all the other stuff that he doesn't seem to get sometimes. That's why people are off on him. I've always liked Soriano. People don't like him because of his contract and how much he's getting paid, and that's no reason not to like a guy. It's, you know, especially in fantasy leagues and things like that. But sometimes he's not the most consistent. He'll go on a streak and then die out for a while. But I do like Alfonso Soriano.
Well, dude, you got to like Soriano, but here's the thing. He's like Lance Berkman. I mean, you know he's at the end of his career. I brought him up because we were talking about Johnny Damon. This is exactly what we're talking about here. I mean, there is going to come a time in the very, very near future where he's not going to do it. I mean, and by the way, he's been sitting on my bench for the last, like, week because he's had such a horrible batting average. There's other players that you could put in. You know, I actually benched him, and it's like, of course, as soon as you bench him, he's going to do that. But regardless, he is not at the peak of his career. Alfonso Soriano, great. But 11 years, you know, you can't rely on it forever. I like Soriano a ton. I'm just saying, he fits right in there with the Johnny Damons and the Lance Berkmans of the world.
Okay. Lance Berkman, I'm okay because when you think of Soriano and Berkman, aren't those guys kind of like, you know, hitters? I mean, you know, power hitters more so than Johnny Damon. Johnny Damon's not necessarily known as like a quote-unquote or am I thinking incorrectly?
I understand what you're saying. Although Johnny Damon, I mean, he hits home runs and steals bases. That's the thing about Johnny Damon. He's got it both ways. I mean, you know, the home run hitters you can rely on for a couple extra years because – you know, of course, your speed goes before your power, and usually those types of players, they end up like DH, you know, they don't have to play in the outfield and all that. Soriano not only, I mean, has shown signs of decline as far as his power goes, 11 years, I am pretty positive that it won't go 12. And because, I mean, his range is so bad in the outfield, like, he's a detriment to the defense. So, no, I mean, people in the National League aren't going to really want to pay him. He's got to end up a DH.
Right.
Okay? I mean, I don't know. Depending on where
he ends up. Do you think of Johnny Damon as a DH, though, really?
The guy can still play a little outfield. Do I think of him as a DH? I think he's an asset to a club because he's got a lot to offer as a leader and a veteran and just, you know, one of those types of guys.
And he's trying to get to 3,000 hits, right?
That's the problem. See, that's the dealio. He's at 2,769, okay? He only needs, he's averaged over the last 18 years 180 hits per game. That's huge.
A year, you mean?
I mean, a year. 180 hits a year. Like, that's
but at the rate that he's playing, it's going to take him another 5 years to make it to that number.
Right,
so
he only needs 31.
If that's a goal of his, I mean, he's got to be, you know, kind of considered almost an everyday player. So if that 3,000 hits is getting in his mind, I didn't realize what number. I thought he was around maybe, you know, 2,900 or 20, you know, to where he needed about another 100 or so. But that's an awful lot of hits for him to have to get to 3,000. If he's worried about 3,000, that's going to be a problem because I don't see him getting that before 3 years with the way teams are using him.
Right? I bet you Oakland will put – I think Oakland could use him, you know. Oakland could use him. I think San Francisco could use him. Although, you know, Oakland's a little more suited for him because it's an American
League
team.
I think you're right. When I think about teams going into the playoffs right now, and, you know, and like you said, especially in the West, experience is going to probably win that division. You know what? That's probably not the worst move for Johnny Damon. That, you know, as long as he keeps his head into the game, more so worried about making the playoffs more so than 3,000 hits. That might be able to maybe stir his mind away from 3,000 hits because if he comes to Oakland, he's in a pennant race.
Well, not only that, but Oakland invested in Brandon Inge, you know, and you never know how many hits Brandon Inge is going to get before his knees go bad. And I just think that, you know, Brandon Inge was available and they swept him up, and that was the second player that I watched them sweep up. I think that, shoot, they have no reason
not to sweep
up.
And they're not using him every day, are they? They're not using Brandon.
Dude, Brandon Inge is a freaking cup of coffee away from an wheelchair, okay?
Absolutely, because they played him in Detroit at the catching position for too long. I remember talking about this one of my earlier shows, because I love Brandon Inge. I always liked him in Detroit. As a matter of fact, I wish he was still there. But I was he was having problems 3 years ago, and they just kept putting him in the catching position. And I'm like, you know, it's just like the dude up in Minnesota, the catcher. And now, you know, he should be playing first base every day, but he still catches sometimes. What's his name? Paid him way too much.
Maurer?
Yeah, Joe Maurer.
I used Inge when Maurer was hurt at the beginning
absolutely.
Of 09.
Yeah. At the catching position. And I just remember in 09.
He was
we
doing
came
good.
On the air. Yeah, he was. I mean, he was a great utility guy because he was at three or four different positions. And you're right now. This year, I mean, you're looking at Brandon Inge, you're right. I mean, all he has to do is trip over, you know, a pebble that's in, you know, that's in the base pads wrong, and he'll be done. And I always thought that was a big problem because I thought he was more suited for third base as an everyday player more so than catcher. Because he was a good third baseman. But speaking of Manny Machado, and you were talking Edgar Renteria, you remember Renteria when he was in his heyday? Does he kind of remind you of him?
Okay.
Renteria is a little bit bigger, but when he was younger, he was a little bit smaller. But he was still bigger. But, you know, in his heyday, I mean, Renteria was just crazy good. I mean, if you look at Renteria's numbers, I bet you, you know, around five or – well, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, this guy had a lot of doubles, lots of triples. I mean, this guy was an extra base mongrel. And I can see Manny Machado being one of those kind of guys.
You know what? Okay, I can't. It's interesting that you bring up Renteria as a comparison. To be honest with you, I've seen Machado down in the Arizona Fall League. And, of course, you know, you got to like what you see. And, you know, Renteria was a Red Sox shortstop, but he played for the Cubbies and whatever, the Cardinals, the Marlins.
Remember him in his heyday? The guy was crazy good at double. I mean, the guy's got so many doubles and triples. I was just so amazed. Not only that, when he's younger, he was a fast son of a gun. So, you know, he just kind of, I mean, just the only difference I see is that Edgar Renteria is a little bit bigger, even when he was smaller, you know, at younger age. You
Check
know, so.
This out. He didn't play for the Cubbies, but he played, guess how many teams he played for?
Many. I'll say seven.
Seven major league teams, yep. The Reds, the Giants, the Tigers, the Braves, the Red Sox, the Cardinals, and the Marlins.
He's been around.
And he
but
does
he's spent a lot of time. He's spent a lot of time with you.
The Red Sox.
Yeah, spent a lot of time there.
I mean, he spent not that much. I don't know, 1 year maybe at the most. I don't think saw him much for the Red Sox. I mean, we had Nomar Garciaparra. Now, that guy, yeah, he's a Red Sox guy, but I don't know. I think after Garciaparra
he spent a lot of time down in Atlanta, right?
I think. Well, let's see here. I can look it up.
We're gonna have to pull
it
up.
It looks like
the
Cardinals.
Now.
He spent the most time with the Cards from 1999 to 2004. He spent 5 years with the Cards. He spent 2 years with the Marlins. He spent 1.5 years with the Giants. 1 year with the Red Sox. 1 year with Atlanta.
Yeah, I must have followed him because I always liked him. I always liked the guy. I just thought that he seemed to be, you know.
Okay, yeah. You remember him after he left the Red Sox and he went to Atlanta.
Yeah.
So he spent like a little over a year with the Atlanta, then he went to Detroit. Anyway, I you know what? It's interesting that you compare those two players. I'll have to look into it. I haven't, you caught me off guard with that one. I don't really know how to even
The only reason why I know is because this, when they brought up Manny Machado, it was big news. I mean, God, that's all I was reading about. It just seemed like, so I watched the highlights, and then I actually got that game on one of our channels, and I watched a little bit, and, you know, and now that you bring up Brad Turia, because I just remember the guy. I just remember the guy. He was just crazy good with extra bases, and not only that, when you look at you know, Renteria in his heyday, we can't talk about him for the last 5 years because he hasn't been jacked. But
I don't think that Machado is going to steal that many bases. I think for shortstop, he's going to be more based on power.
Yes, but yeah, that's the command of the plate that young guy has. Sort of like Renteria. I mean, Renteria was a guy who could hit to the opposite field. And I just know this because I followed the guy. The guy can hit to the opposite field. So can Machado. I think he's got a good idea about how major league pitching is coming to, and he's got, you know, that I hate the way, the command of the plate kind of thing. I don't think he does.
That's the problem. I don't think he does. He got brought up, but he was only batting like 260. And before that, I mean, he started the season, at the beginning of August, he was batting barely 200. I don't, and that was in the minor leagues. I don't know. I wonder. I mean, I know that I don't think he played in AAA either. I think he came straight from AA into the majors. And when you're batting 260 in the AA, okay, and you get brought up into the majors, yeah, he's had one day of at-bats, and he did a decent job. But you can't, you know, we can't start saying that this guy's got, you know, a feel for major league pitching already. Because
absolutely.
You've
got to just look at he did. With major league pitching right now, which is the one game. I just liked what I saw in him, you know, in the first game.
Absolutely.
And of course, we all get that way. We get excited about things like that. But at the same time, this is one of those guys. Now, granted, he's not a Strasburg. He's not the other guy over
Bryce
in
Harper.
Washington. He's not that guy.
You never know how they're going to translate.
Which is really kind of cool if you think about it. You want to root for a guy, especially with the Baltimore Orioles being where they're at right now.
I agree. But as a fantasy owner, you only root so much. You don't pay for what Machado is expected to be in his career. You pay for what Machado is now. Like, okay, Trevor Bauer, okay? You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you pay for what you're going to see. Like, just don't pay a whole bunch of money for him because his stats are not that good. I think he completely skipped Triple A, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're right. I think he came up from Double A, actually. So
you know, I saw him in
right.
the Arizona Fall League. He played in the All-Star game, and you know, the Future Stars game, and he has good size for a shortstop, and he's one of the top five prospects. I mean, that's what we know so far. The fact that he skipped AAA, that bothers me. I mean, who knows? I mean, as a fantasy owner, I'm not going to be spending my wages on him, you know? Anyway, did you see the highlights of the Detroit-Yankee game yesterday?
I have not seen that one as of yet, no.
I think it was a tied score, right, or whatever, and Detroit had runners on base, and somebody hit a ball, and one of the umpires called it foul first, and then he called it fair, like, right after that. And the outfielder in left field, you know, he was kind of stumbling over the ball, and Girardi got so pissed off, dude. He came flying over the fence, dude. He was so mad. I mean, he had every right to be mad, because you don't call a ball foul and then say it's fair, you know, while runners are scoring. Okay. So he got kicked out of the game yesterday, but he was throwing his arms up. You very rarely see him ever lose his cool, you know.
Not George Girardi, you're right. I'm gonna as you explain that, I'm gonna watch it right now. So
it's pretty cool. Watch it on MLB because I watched a whole bunch of recaps. ESPN does kind of a half-ass one, but on MLB when they do the game recaps, like there's a little game highlights. There's like a little clip of Girardi, and it talks about like as it's going on, and it just shows like the ball was real close to being foul. The third base umpire, he decided to call it foul, and then he decided to call it fair, which, you know, is not that cool when runners are scoring. Anyway, they scored either one or two runs. They ended up Yankees ended up coming back and winning the game because of Teixeira and Eric Chavez. Eric Chavez.
Right.
Is hitting, you know, he's hitting.
It hit the chalk. I'm looking at it right now, and I got it paused right where it hits the chalk. You see the chalk flying. So depending
on... No, you
got to
watch after that where Girardi jumps over the fence.
Now, that part I didn't see, but
it hits the chalk.
Part happened, so...
The guy had every right to be annoyed. And then, of course, you know, the umpires are like, just calm it down, buddy. We're not trying to draw attention to our mistake here. And then they kicked him out. And then he's walking off the field doing, like, Aussie gestures, you know, throwing his hands up in the air. I mean, he had every right to be mad. I mean, you know, nobody can complain. I'll be interested to hear what the New York media has
to
say about
him. Well,
let
me ask you this. Is the chalk fair ball?
It was a fair ball.
But he
was
more
close.
Ticked off. But so you're saying he was more ticked off that they called it foul and then called it fair.
Yeah, you can't just say it's foul and then fair when the runners are scoring.
That's exactly what I'm looking at.
And to be honest with you, I don't think any less. I think the runners would have scored regardless. That's not the issue. But he had every right to be annoyed at the fact that they called it foul, then they called it fair, and they decided to stick with the call, which, I don't know, you got to admit that you were wrong sometimes and say, okay, well, what are you going to do at that point? You know, you can't say, okay, we'll just rewind. I mean, you can't take the fact that it was fair away, but I don't know. He had every right to be mad. They didn't really have a good...
I'm looking at the thing, and the outfielder umpire was clearly calling it in, so the umpire got it wrong. So because that's where the call's coming from on the foul.
He miscommunicated.
But he wanted to get back into it a little bit more. I love that. I love to see a spark from a guy who's normally a reserve dude.
Yeah, I mean, he comes through. I think Girardi's a stand-up guy. I think he's a good manager. You know, he takes a lot of flack being a New York manager for the Yankees.
Absolutely.
You know, it's always, what is Girardi going to get his head out of that? That's all I hear. And it's like, buddy, Girardi is one of the most stand-up managers in baseball. You know, he always keeps his cool. Every press conference, you know, he gets so sick of those stupid questions one after another. He always maintains, you know. I think he's done obviously a decent job. I mean, the Yankees are winning.
Yep. And they're in first place in their division. And, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that because yesterday, not more than 12 hours ago, I was watching old baseball field and I was watching Hal McRae lose his mind out of answering stupid questions over. Man, that's one of my favorite videos right there.
Dude,
and
when I was
and
looking
that's
at
not
his...
your Girardi at all, is it? Boy, you're getting both sides of the spectrum.
Check it out, though. When I was looking at the videos on him getting ejected, I find, you know, the top 10 manager ejections in baseball, you know, and that subject comes up. And, of course, I'm sidetracked. I'm looking at all the best ejections, you know. You remember when, what's his name? Stupid. I can't think of his name right now, of course, but you'll know him right off the bat. The dude that comes out and throws the bases. Remember when he came out and threw the bases? I'm
yes.
I don't know.
Early 2000s. He's a Brewers guy, right?
Was it a minor league Cubby?
I thought the team was affiliated with the Brewers. I may be wrong about that, but I do remember the guy throwing the bases. That's one of the best ones.
What's the Cubby manager? What used to be?
But wasn't that minor league though?
No, it was in the major league. It was.
I'm thinking of a different one. Then I was looking at. I was thinking of the one in the minor league where the guy goes and he throws actually through two bases, which was actually quite funny. But yep, we're off track.
What about my
boy
Jordan Zimmermann? Okay, let's talk a little about him.
Yes, I like Jordan Zimmermann, and you know what? I picked up Jordan Zimmermann after you told me that if he was available in your league or you were able to get him, it would probably wouldn't be the worst move that I made.
Well, that must have been like two, maybe a year and a half. I don't know, right when he came back from Tommy John, that must have been at the beginning of...
Yep, that's exactly when you said it. That's, you know, and I went and I grabbed him up, and I remember my conflict because I normally don't pick up guys off of Tommy John after 2 years. That's usually me. I'll let him go the first year, and I won't grab him up, but I'll grab him up the second year.
I'm telling you, this guy is a top pitcher. There's nobody can argue with me. If you have an argument, you should call up right now and try to give it to me because there's absolutely no good argument against it. I mean, this guy, there is no way I mean, only the fact that he doesn't, he's not a huge strikeout pitcher, okay? He doesn't, look, but he's not a bad strikeout pitcher. He doesn't pitch to strikeout batters. He pitches, but he takes care of business. I mean, this guy, well, he did strike out some batters yesterday. I think he struck out 11 batters yesterday in six innings. So, and I don't think for a second, you know, I had this argument with somebody else like just about a month and a half ago when I was talking about Jordan Zimmermann and how he's the most underrated pitcher in baseball and how, you know, he gets overlooked because of Bryce Harper and Strasburg and all that going on.
Of course.
He gets overlooked, but this guy has pitched into seven innings. Like, he's pitched more than any other pitcher in baseball, and he continues to maintain such good numbers. And the argument was that he doesn't strike out enough batters. And look, I'm not going to argue with the fact that he's not, you know, he's not Gio Gonzalez in the fact that he doesn't strike out batters like crazy, you know. He's not Strasburg. He's not going to come out and strike out 12 batters in five innings. But I'll tell you one thing. I don't believe for a second that his growth has hit its limit. And I don't believe that he is at his peak as far as how many batters he can strike out. I think that over the next year or two, he will continue to improve his strikeout ratio, and this guy will be a Cy Young winner within the next 3 years.
Listen, though, last night the guy was on fire. I'm looking at it. I'm looking at the line. Six innings, three hits, no runs, no walks, 11 Ks on 87 pitches. On 87 pitches, and 57 of them were strike. That's a dominating performance for a guy like Zimmermann. Man, I'm telling you, that's good stuff right there.
Man, the fact that he can keep his pitch count down and he doesn't – he's already had Tommy John, okay? So, you know, we don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, you got two starters right there
rarely
in the starting
ever
lineup with Tommy John. That's nice.
He very rarely ever walks batters. I mean, you know, in 2011 he pitched 161 innings. He walked 25 batters – or he walked 30 batters. I mean, that's very, very good, you know? I mean, to find, I don't know, Jonathan.
I'm going to tell you right now, if I was a general manager and I was looking for a pitcher, and I needed someone, I'm taking someone coming off of Tommy John, and I'm going to pay him.
Absolutely.
I'm telling you, man, because, I mean, these guys come back and they're absolutely nuts good. Not just good, they're just crazy good. And I'm looking for a guy the second or third year off of Tommy John. If I'm looking for a pitcher going into the playoffs, give me a guy who just that blew out his arm and got the. And it's almost like a rubber band now. I mean they are getting wow.
And I gotta say, I mean, I know Ari Dickey. They're talking about Ari Dickey,
yes.
Up for Cy Young, all this stuff. But
forgetting,
you know, Jordan Zimmermann is completely overlooked. He's got a 2.35 ERA and 145 innings pitched. His WHIP is 1.06. Okay, yeah, he doesn't have as many wins as Ari Dickey, but I'm sorry, wins shouldn't even be a factor in Cy Young. It's not, you know, it's not all on the pitcher's abilities whether or not they get wins. I mean, Felix Hernandez is a perfect example of that.
Yes.
You know, and I hate playing in leagues that don't count strikeouts, but they count wins. It's like, if I was going to count one of the two, I would count strikeouts way before wins, because wins aren't, that's saying nothing about a pitcher. That's saying, thank God Texas has good enough lineup that they're going to save Ryan Dempster, okay, and give him some wins. Great, good job.
Well, Ryan Dempster had a pretty good outing last time. I'll give him
that.
Okay,
fine.
The first one he got blown up on, and, you know, we got to see if he can remain cool. He's 1-1 now with the rhythm, but you're right.
I mean, look, Anibal Sanchez hasn't done anything for Detroit, but I have no doubts in my mind that he'll come around. I mean, you know, and Dempster as well, going from the NL to the AL, from a team that's not contending to a team that is contending, from a park that, you know, nobody's hitting home runs to a park that people do hit home runs, you got to give Dempster a little bit of leeway here. I just don't think he's a stellar pitcher. I think he'll strike out some batters, but when it comes down to it, he is no Anibal Sanchez.
I agree with you 100%. And that's, you know, but, you know, when you're getting that Tommy John surgery going on, I just, and Texas, they got the bad news about Tommy John. Good news, bad news. Natale Felice is going to undergo Tommy John surgery. So he's going to be out next year. But when he comes back, man, the Texas Rangers got another ace in their lineup.
Right. Well, yeah. You know, Matt Moore for Tampa Bay pitched last night. I watched him pitch. He's looking very good. This guy, you know, very highly touted prospect. People were paying money. They were buying Matt Moore, dude. He was being drafted way before pitchers that he shouldn't have been drafted in front of, okay? He was probably being drafted before Josh Beckett. I mean, you know, whatever Josh Beckett. It's just the first name that came to my mind. But, okay, Matt Moore, my point being is that, you know, next year, okay, I think that Matt Moore is going to be drafted lower than he was this year, and he's going to be twice the pitcher that he is, even though he's got a 3.73 ERA. He is definitely a guy to target. This guy is coming into his own. I mean, and the fact that he has a 3.73 ERA, if you look at his splits, it's got to be. I mean, I haven't looked at him personally, but he did not start the season out all that great. We know that he's got the stuff, but just up until recently, we haven't really seen it, really. I mean, Tampa Bay's got great pitching over there. Matt Moore, I just think, is going to be less drafted lower and twice as good of a pitcher as he was this year. And this is just an example. Every single year we see this. But the year before that, it was Hellickson. I mean, who knows who it was before that. Next year it'll be somebody else. But just don't forget about him, because I guarantee Matt Moore was shining in Las Vegas lights at the beginning of this season, but he's going to be kind of lost in the I don't know, crowd.
Has he had Tommy John surgery?
No, he just came up. No, he hasn't. No, I'm a huge Tommy John fan. You know it.
Oh, yeah. Why not? I mean, what you got guys like Adam Wainwright, of course, Steven Strasburg, Joe Nathan coming back, you know, for the Rangers, Tim Hudson, John Smoltz. These are guys off the top of my head. Didn't Jamie Moyer have it? I think he had it, and Chris Carpenter had it. Gagne had it.
Wainwright. He's a big
Wainwright, he had it. Kerry Wood had it. Well, that's not fair.
Pretty much every pitcher that had Tommy John came back a better pitcher. I mean, 90% of them.
Yeah, so.
I beg for Tommy John surgery. I'm like, please,
yeah,
go get
right.
it now, and then we'll just, you know, Brett Anderson's coming back. He'll be one to get next year. We'll see what he does. You know, it would be in my best interest if Brett Anderson came out and pitched like crap, because then he won't be costing what he's worth.
But Brett Anderson has had Tommy John, so you might get a good one on that one.
He did have Tommy John.
Yes, he did.
He should be back. Let's see. Today, I think he's pitching. I think he's pitching a minor league outing today, like a full game, or you know, however many innings the starter goes.
He's set to start. Okay, cool.
And then he's got two more outings, they say, before he's ready to come up. And I gotta say, it just adds to Oakland and their firepower, because let me tell you what, if Oakland goes out and picks up Johnny Damon and they get a freaking rotation that consists of so deep of a rotation, I mean, their rotation is already deep. Here's a guy that, you know, he's fresh. Brett Anderson is going to be fresh. I don't think that he'll be that bad. I mean, he's going to be at least good enough to maintain. You know,
right.
He's not going to go out there and crap it up, I don't think. We'll have to see. We don't really know enough about him to make, you know, a statement yet.
Well, let's see what he does. Yeah, let's see what he does tonight. And
in my opinion,
why don't we kick, huh?
This guy's a good pitcher. He's a good pitcher. Yeah. That's what we do know.
We'll check it out on Monday.
And David Ortiz could be coming back this weekend, by the way, my big poppy.
I heard Big Papi is setting ready to go, and he's supposed to be in the lineup
back
on Saturday. Huh?
I hope he gets back before they go to Baltimore, because that's what I'm rolling, my Big Papi shirt.
From what I'm hearing, he's supposed to be back on Saturday, if not Sunday. So, yeah, you might get your wish.
Okay, dude. Are we out of time?
All right. Yep, we are out of time.
Thanks, Couch
and
Potatoes.
I've got to get back to my real job.
Okay, I'll talk to you Monday.
Everybody have a good one. We'll see you on Monday here on the
later
Early Bird Fantasy Show. Monday and Friday, Andrea Soxan and me, Sonny Clark B. hardest working man in sports radio. We'll catch you on Monday after the weekend, everybody. Bye-bye. Such a good